Welcome to the Harnessing Happiness podcast. Upbeat vibes generated and transferred to you. Now here's your host, Sarah J. Naylor.
Hello and welcome to Harnessing Happiness with myself, Sarah J. Naylor. Thank you so much for stopping on by and listening to this episode. Really appreciate you doing so. It's lovely to have you as my listeners. So today I am joined by the very effervescent, is that the right word? I don't know. Enthusiastic. We'll use enthusiastic. Christian Hoyle, who I'm going to hand over to introduce himself because he will do so, as you know, far better than I can. So over to you, Christian. Please do introduce yourself to my fabulous listeners.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for... I had no idea what that word meant, so I'm kind of glad that you moved on. So my name's Christian Hoyle. I work as a mindset coach and mentor, and that's come about through 25 years of being an entrepreneur, having numerous businesses and taking one to the top. And I now try and pass the things that I've learned about mindset to everyone else and teach them to have an amazing life and make everything they want happen whenever they want.
And so we sort of got introduced sort of by default, and we're both very passionate about that sort of power of synchronicity, aren't we, and things sort of happening and sort of jumping on opportunities, which is how we've ended up here and having the and recording this episode. But you've got an interesting background because you didn't really you started off in a completely different area, didn't you? Teaching, wasn't it?
I was that guy. So I finished my degree. And I literally finished it, and I was sat in the dining room, and this woman walked into me called Sarah, funny enough, called Sarah. Yeah. She says, "What are you doing now?" And I went, "I have actually no idea, because you've spent all that time, go to college, uni."
Yeah.
"I've got no idea." She went, "You want to be a teacher? I'm getting paid $6,000 on a bursary. You can sign up today." I signed up because of that. That was the only reason. So I signed that up, and then off I went from there. But yeah. But I like the word that you use, synchronicity, then. You just use synchronicity. I think that's a really important concept.
It's that sort of sense. It's when things sort of align and things happen, but you recognise it and take and seize that opportunity. It's like you were just saying there, that person, had that person not come and had that conversation with you at that point, and there must have been something that kind of resonated with you that then took you on that journey to become a teacher, which would have given you skills that have stood you in good stead throughout your life, which is obviously where you come back. You're almost like full circle now, aren't you? But you're not working with a classroom of kids.
Funny enough, this week I'm doing a mindset workshop for confidence about some people taking an exam. So I'm going to try and get some young kids who are struggling, and I'm going to put in a little bit of a drive and motivation and get them into the concept that they're a reflection, that intelligence is going to be learned. So yeah, they're not as good as when they're going to, if they do some revision, they're not as good as if they do some work, they're not as good if they get some things done. But if you keep thinking that you're not going to pass it, you won't, because you become what you say you are. And if you're sat there going, "I'm not going to pass this, I'm useless, I'm that, I'm this," then now all them things will come into tuition with you. And like what you're saying before about synchronicity, it follows the same thing, it's an energy. So the energy, what I say I am, I become. So I no longer ever say a negative comment about myself, because that means that I am that. I could admit my own things that I need to work on, because I've got a lot, you know, like everyone. I've got some stuff I've cracked and I'm there, but I still want to get better at it. So that's, if I was going to give anyone a tip, I'd tell everyone, don't say anything negative about yourself, because you become what you talk and what you think about.
Absolutely, 100%. And that is such a powerful piece of advice. And it is something, we aren't our behaviour, we can change our behaviour. It's how our mindset is so powerful, and what we send down to the subconscious, which the subconscious doesn't recognise a negative. So even if you want to say, "I don't want to be this, I don't want to be that," all it's hearing is, "I want to be this, I want to be that." And I've eradicated, once I understood that concept myself when I was going through my coach training about the negative, I'm really mindful of everything I sort of think, speak, act, and how, and I sort of constantly sort of change it. So whenever I'm looking at an email, for instance, I'm writing, I will go, "Oh," because you find yourself automatically with language, don't you? Sort of going, "Oh no, I don't want to do that. Oh, hang on a minute. Rein that back in. What do I want to do instead?" And doing that quick reframe can then sort of change that whole concept, because you want then focusing on what you don't want, you're focusing on what you do want. And that's the same as you were saying about...
I've got a tip. Just always, whatever you want, start thinking about all the time. Start telling people that's what you're going to be. Because at some point, you might work in a shop, but you might have always had an aspiration to do something else. I've always wanted to say, I've always wanted to work for myself, being self-employed, doing what I do in a shop, but selling it retail. Why can't you do that? Why can't you? You can do it. You've already said that's what you want to do, so that's what you're going to have to do. If you keep saying it, writing it down, it's almost, I've got a client at the minute, and they said to me, I'm not a runner, I can't run. And I said, why have you never run? And it was because a teacher, when he was younger, told him that he was useless. So I said, but they're not here now, they're gone, and they're probably useless. They're clearly useless by telling you that. Let's start by walking. We walk a bit, and then you start saying to yourself, every walk, you're going to run 100 metres. Tiny little changes start to make big effects. So when I wasn't a runner, he wasn't a runner then. Next minute, he's running a 3K. Next minute, a 5K.
Brilliant.
He's run a marathon recently.
That's amazing. But that power, that support and that encouragement, that unconditional positive regard, non-judgmental, and the things that people have done, like you've just referenced that school teacher at school, and I think that's a story for so many people, because they're pointed out, oh, you're rubbish at this, you're rubbish at that. So rather than actually focusing in on what people are good at, which is the power of coaching, of course, because you get more of what you put in and put back, and that power of focus, you triggered a memory. Actually, I'm going back to a guy I met online a few years ago who was a jockey. I never did meet him, but we sort of spoke on the phone, and he had focused and created a vision board because he wanted to become a jockey. He was a jockey anyway, but he wanted to go and work in Dubai for the highest person that had some sheikh or something like that. And he looked at it every day. And yeah, it manifested.
You got a good example there, because you also have to be realistic. Like, most things everyone can achieve, but I'm not going to become a jockey because I'm 6'3". So I can never do it professionally. I can ride. But one of my other things is I'm absolutely petrified of horses. So there's a big fear. That doesn't help. I have rode horses. So when we start, the other thing is what we do is when we're looking at our dreams and making everything we want happen, because I'm here to tell you this, like, anything you want, you can have, but you've got to be realistic. Like, I can't be a jockey because I'm too big. If you're like majorly overweight, you're not going to be a jockey because you're too big, but you can lose the weight if you're small. So there's always something achievable. I can ride horses if I want. I actually don't want to. I am beginning to love them a little bit more, but I'm not quite there with getting on them sort of thing. So it's about making it realistic as well as another factor.
So you've got your goals, you've got the reality, you've got options, and then you've got the will, which is the sort of that desire to sort of want to actually do it, because that's the key, isn't it? Because actually, if you really, really wanted to become a jockey at 6'3", you'd just have to find a ruddy big horse, wouldn't you, that you could tuck your legs up inside, you know, and create a whole new environment for yourself whereby it's you know, racing horses for tall people. Because actually, where something doesn't exist, you can create something to accommodate the people that don't fit into the sort of tiny jockey leg. Because I'd never be a jockey. I was told to never be a ballerina because I was going to be too tall as a child. As it was, I stopped growing at 5'4", so I'd have been perfect height for a ballerina. I think a bit more like, got Jeff Capes legs though, not ballerina legs, but hey ho, that's another story.
So you've just identified one of the things that's important for everyone. We've all got perspective and putting things into perspective. So if I want to be a jockey and I start watching Cheltenham and think I'm going to win at Cheltenham, I'm 44, I'm too old, because I'm going to have to learn. It's going to take me, because so I can learn to be a jockey, but I'm not competing at Cheltenham. But I say to myself, I'm going to do it once. I'm going to run one race and I'm going to be the jockey. That's realistic. That's perspective on it. I can do that, and then I can work towards it. I'll get there. I'm just not going to.
Yeah, well, that's it, because we've got choices, haven't we? And it's about following your flow. It's about following what you're passionate about. It's doing what you want. It's connecting into that and then having that focus, having that vision, creating that vision board and believing in yourself. And like you were saying about gearing up these, is it school children?
Who's it you said you're going to be working with? Year 11 students, they are, who are taking their exam in June.
What sort of things will you be working with them on specifically?
Well, it's a short, I mean, I won't be going in, it's on over line. So it's like a short, powerful 10-minute motivation and drive. And where does motivation come? Motivation comes from believing you can do something. Yeah. So first thing we talk about is about belief. Because a lot of them have convinced themselves they can't do it. Because someone told them when they were 8, the mum said it, the mate said it. So we have to get rid of all that stuff that people have said to you. Because you are a vessel that can start at any point. Doesn't matter when it is, you get the right person behind you and you can go forward. Often that right person is yourself, because we're ever changing ourselves. They'd say, I've got no motivation. Or I'd say, do you know where motivation comes from? It comes from not stopping. It comes from setting out a plan and following it. Like when you're, if you've got a science exam and you don't do any revising, I promise you, you're going to have no motivation. You're going to be useless. And you're not going to finish it. If you spend 2 hours in a week, you're going to be all right. If you spend 3 hours in a week, you're going to better than you were with 2 hours. If you find a different way of doing it, each time you do it, you get more motivated and you believe in yourself. So every time you revise some stuff you did in class and you work on it, you motivate yourself because you think, actually, I can do it. Actually, mm-hmm. I know that. Knowledge, when you don't know, you're scared. So you're scared of it. I don't know that because you haven't looked. Have a little look. We don't expect you to know it all. But as soon as you've looked, it leads into you thinking, right, I can do it. Once you think I can do it, you do a little bit more. Now it comes to your exam the next day. I'm going to revise on that exam the next day because I'm getting my belief. And I go to that exam believing I can finish it. And then we can think. So it goes a lot further than that because I'm going to get into a little bit more about, you've got to be realistic. There's 30 kids there. There's not 30 A students. There's not 30 doctors. You know, there's a mass thing there. And whatever you need to do, you do it then. Like, when I left school, I didn't do any qualifications because I thought it was big and cool and hard. So I thought that was better to bunk off school. And then I pulled back years of my life. Whereas my kids, I won't let that happen. They ain't doing that. So I force them. In a sense, a parent's a coach. That's what a parent is. We're coaches, you know what I mean? We get better the more kids we have. So anyone with one parent, what we do? Because the first kid, he's the one you trial them out on. You get the second one, you put all your practice in. The third one, you might lay off a bit and realise it's not as big a deal as you've made it. Like the exam, it's not as big a deal as you're making it. You make everything the deal that you make it. It's up to you what you decide is too big or too small. But I can assure you, anyone can do anything.
And no, I'm with you totally. I think we're very much on the same page, which was so... Just coming back to your tip, the tip that I had when I was at school, which I think helped me get my maths O-level. You see, I'm showing my age now. was, you know, literally go through the exam, answer the questions that you can do, leave the ones that you can't do. I mean, I think my maths paper was the first one finished because I'd just gone through it and literally just answered the questions that I could do. Then I went back through it again and answered the ones that I'd taken, because I'd taken the stress off myself with taking those first sort of selection of questions and answering them. Then went back to the ones that required a little bit more thought. And if it was going to require too much thought, I left it again, but just did the ones that required a little bit more thought. So I went through a process. So I kind of, I think I went through it three times. So then the ones that were going to take more time, I'd got that time at the end to do, rather than spending all of the time doing one, answering one question. So that's my top tip for anybody taking the exam. Go through and answer the ones you can do first and leave the others, go back again and then go back again.
You had a system and you followed it. And that's what often helps us, when we follow a little system we've created. So we think about it before, and that's an obvious system because you just saving time and saving marks. Because the amount of people who don't do every question, it's so obvious. Just fill any question, guess if you have to. Did you fill all the questions? No. It's just a waste. So it's a system. Follow a system, you're getting somewhere. But everyone I speak to, out like 30 kids, some of them will have systems. Some of them have really good parents behind them that are pushing them to do it. Some of them have got to find it internally, and they'll do it. And they're amazing creations. Some haven't got a chance, but you give them a little chance. Everyone's got something that's happening to them. But no matter what, and it comes down to it, and it's like, you're all right. You're going to be all right. Everything's all right. Just remember it's all right. It's like you talk about synchronicity, this podcast. Your podcast subject is my favourite philosophy of life, really.
Harnessing,
because happiness, like, I was reading a book the other day, and I'm going against this. I read books every day because I want to expand my mind, and that's one of the things, expanding your mind. And one guy said that, he said, they keep telling you things to be happy, but happiness isn't something that you do. Happiness is... I totally disagree with that. I'd say that happiness is about how you go about your day and making sure every day is filled with things that make you happy. Every day is filled with things that push you, and every day is filled, because unhappiness comes from long periods of time not doing anything, not motivating yourself, not getting anywhere. They will create unhappiness. So if you can create unhappiness by things in your life, how can you create happiness? And once you get a bit obsessed like I am, I'm happy. People go, oh, you're lucky. You're lucky, you. You're like, always land on your feet. No, I don't. But I'm happy. I try. I literally try to be happy. So that's the end game, and that's why I love the title. Yeah, you got to try. You don't just absolutely.
No, but it's absolutely. It's a knowing what you enjoy doing, and it's running with that, and it's looking at things from a different perspective. I mean, my ape mindset, which I sort of trademarked last year, which is the APE is acceptance, perspective, and energy. So it's how you sort of accept a situation or not. I mean, if you're feeling passionate about something, you don't need to accept it. You can go on and challenge it. But if there's something like COVID, you have to look at it and look at things from a different perspective and shift your energy accordingly and put your energy into what, you know, does make you feel good, what does make you happy, you know, and really channel it that way and look at the things, as you say, that make you happy, because the more of what you do that makes you happy brings about more happiness. I mean, I love, you know, recording episodes with people like yourself, you know, all the guests that I have. I feel really honoured. I feel really grateful that I'm having these fantastic conversations that I'm then able to share this wisdom, this insight with the listeners across the world, because there's so many sort of aha moments amongst it, things and points that will resonate within different conversations that people go, oh yeah, oh, I'd not thought about, oh that, yeah. And it's just one thing, if it triggers with one person, that's just brilliant, you know, and that makes me feel that I'm doing something positive with what I'm passionate about that can help the world and global, because I just think, you know, if you can, we can push out happiness globally, the world would be a much better place if people are feeling happy because they're doing stuff that feels good.
What you've just said then is that everyone I work with, it's like you've got to learn to accept what you've got. Like some people go, yeah, but I don't want it like this, I want this. I'll go, yes, that's great, that, and maybe in the future we can change it, but at the minute that's what you got, so we're going to need to work around it. Yeah, but I'm knackered all the time, I can't do that and that. Yeah, but that at the minute, that's what you've got. Eventually we'll change that. But at the minute, we must accept what the situations that are around us. Because many things, like people felt like COVID, I'm not going into it, but COVID was nuts with my mates. Half of them caught conspiracy theories, control and all that. When really I wasn't controlled because I got on with my life. I know we were in lockdown, but I saw lockdown. I just think I need to be happy. I can't change lockdown. I can't change politics. Exactly. I can't change the future. I have to accept them. They're telling me, yeah, but it's ruined my life. It's done that. How can it ruin your life? And we had the same thing, because the difference is I accepted it. You didn't accept it. You said it was wrong. You believed this, believed that. You wanted to do something, which you were never going to do. Imagine if you just accepted it and then enjoyed your life. COVID would have been no different. And that's the difference, I think.
Yeah, you sort of treat... It's almost like being like Teflon. It's, I mean, exactly. I mean, you have to let things sort of slide off you, don't you? You know, and I did exactly the same as you did. You know, I mean, it knackered my business. It turned, it pulled the ball completely, the carpet from completely underneath me. You know, plan A, B, C, and D all went out the window. Bottle of wine wasn't the answer. I just had to pivot. I pivoted like mad. It brought about a huge amount of creativity, you know, and ultimately it's arrived at me doing podcasting, which is absolutely awesome, and I love it.
Were you all right in the whole time?
Yeah.
You were all right. You were all right, weren't you? Because if you start, if you just say, I'm all right, then you are all right.
I seized the moment. I went, oh my gosh, this is an opportunity for me. I saw it loud and clear as an opportunity, because suddenly the bulk of my business, which is recruitment, which is the bulk of my income, had gone. And it's like, I'm being given permission to do all these other things and not recruitment. And it was just like, bring it on. And I went full on. I was revisiting marketing training. I was picking up on any sort of webinar I could hear. And it was all around that made me sort of grab hold of and order some equipment, like my microphone that I'm using, lighting and stuff like that. Because I also heard that, you know, there was suddenly a run on these things that they were selling out. So I jumped in there, got those all ordered, started to do my YouTube channel, started to do that. I went on to an NLP training certificate because the organisation I trained as a coach were running it at a fraction of the price. So I jumped on that. I then went about converting my book into a online digital course the following year, in amongst doing all sorts of other things and doing recruitment as it was picking back up again. And it was like, I just knew it wouldn't last for long. I thought, I've got to maximise this opportunity.
Another question from that is, so that's hellishly motivated, yeah? Hellishly motivated. So someone else is looking at it. What was your motivation? When all that went on, and two questions, A, what was your motivation? But B, did your motivation come from being motivated through all the things you were doing?
I'm just naturally enthusiastic about life. And I just, I'd say literally my motivation was not doing recruitment anymore, having that freedom to actually have choices, to do stuff, that to do things for me. And that motivation created more motivation. And the fact that I knew it was time bound, I knew it wouldn't last forever. And yeah, I was just motivated by being motivated, by being given and presented an opportunity to do and have another go at doing things. And just really immersing myself into them, because it was just so exciting. It was just like, let's get cracking. I mean, and I'm looking out today, because today, as we're recording, and I heard on the radio today was the day that the first lockdown was announced.
No.
And the weather was like it is
immense.
Today.
I know,
and
yeah.
It's just, and it was stunning. We had all this incredible weather. And so it was just like, okay. The bottom dropped out of the market and I've got a big amount of money to pay back for the bounce back loan. But do you know what? Again, we're coming back to that level of acceptance. And you just go, okay, well, I'm bringing the money in. That's covering it. But you know what? That's me. But you've had a journey in yourself, haven't you? Because you are this positive person. But you, obviously, you're an entrepreneur. You moved from the teaching. You went in, you had a business and made lots of money. And then you ended up without any, didn't you?
I didn't lose it all. No, I didn't lose it all. If you added it all up, but yeah, someone nicked £1 million off me. Someone nicked £1 million off me on July the 27th, 2020, which was just after a lockdown, I think, but it was a few lockdowns to go. But like, when someone nicked the money off me, it was like if someone split up with me, it was like if someone I know died, if it was like the car's gone, if it was like I've lost my job, whatever it is, that was mine. And at some point, you have to step up. You know, at some point, when I felt that was happening to me, you step up. You either step up or you get left behind and you decide who you want to be. Do you want to be someone where react to environments in a negative way and it lets you spiral out of control? Or something happens, like what happened to you when you thought you were losing money, you can either use it as a positive or as a negative. And I know which one I want. I only want one thing. I don't want to sit at home moping because I'm not saying I don't mope every so often, but on the whole, I want to be somewhere and I use that as a vehicle. And so, yeah, I did take a loss, but it's actually going to earn me a lot more money in the end and give me, like, I started getting paid to coach then. And now my coach is going from one strength to the other and I've got other things that are going on. And I think, I believe this, I know that everyone's different, and maybe because I've had £1 million, is that money's just a vehicle and it's just an energy. And out there, and you know what? You can take money from someone, but if you can make it, you can never take that away. And I've always been able to make it. And I just keep making it, going out, and I keep doing things, I keep getting motivated, and money comes in. That's money. And then if I lost someone who I loved, I need someone else who I love. You know, I move my love somewhere else. Whatever it is, I can either like the biggest thing that happened to me was my mum dying at 27, many years. It was actually 18 years next week. I celebrate her life because I feel blessed that I had her in my life. Someone else lost a mum, was born without one. Someone else lost him as a kid. You know, someone else then, like my next door neighbour, she was looking after her mum for 20 years because her mum got to 109. So from 60 years, she looked like a corpse in a wheelchair. Where's that woman 60 to 80 gone? She ain't got one. She was in the house looking after her mum. So everyone's in a different thing with that.
Yes.
So her mum died and I wanted her to have an amazing life and she started to have her life. Because she decided that we only have this one existence, and while it's here, I'm going to bloody enjoy it.
No, absolutely. I'm totally with you on that. And, you know, I felt very fortunate when I left my ex-husband 17 years ago. I felt that I had an opportunity to have a second stab at life in this lifetime and create the life that I want to leave, because life is an illusion of our own creation.
It is.
You know, and it is what you make of it, you know, and it's how you see it, how you view it. And, you know, you can come up with, oh, yes, this, that and the other. And buttons, you know, I often find myself in that. If I've got myself caught up into an awful lot, well, I can't do anymore. But actually, well, come on, take a step back, breathe, look at it. What can you change? How can you alter stuff? You know, and it's shaping it to how you want to live your life, because we can create it however we want.
Imagine this, yeah. Because I had this money thing and someone who else hasn't got it, they'd go, how could you possibly get over that? It'll ruin you forever. I couldn't do it. But that's why you didn't have the money, because you didn't have the creative thoughts to get there. I think creative thoughts came to make that happen and they're coming again. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's the end. It's always the beginning. And if you see everything as the end, you'll always like be left with things. Like, you look back in your life, right? There's a very famous comment that I love. Like, whenever you think everything's falling apart, is it not in reality falling into place? Because you look back in your life, all your disasters, they were actually, something good came out of them. Mm-hmm. So every time you lost a job, something didn't work for you, something didn't happen, think back, eventually that form to fall into place. You thought it was all mental and you were never going to get over it, but you did. In fact, it actually moved you forward. So sometimes letting it just happen, it'll go, it'll happen. As long as you keep it going internally, that you have the motivation and drive to do whatever you want to do.
It's kind of going with that flow. It's not fighting against stuff. It's not resisting stuff. Unless you've got something that's really in your mind that, you know, it's a belief and you want to challenge something. I'm not knocking people that have got things that they want to challenge because, they think that something's not right. But absolutely going with the flow. And it's that sort of, sometimes when you have these moments of absolute sort of drama and stuff like that, it's a breakthrough moment. It's overwhelm is actually a point of which things have built up and built up and built up. And it's this sort of breakthrough. It's almost like a boil waiting to be burst. So that then it can actually settle back down. But, you've got rid of all the stuff that's taken you there. But actually, there's a lot of learning, there's wisdom, and it's that breakthrough moment. So if you then choose to sort of then up level, and you've got that wisdom, you've got that knowledge, and it is all about that progression, as you said. Energy, we are energy, we're all energy. It keeps on moving, it keeps on changing, and if you choose to sort of roll with it and learn from it, you will evolve and you'll be stronger. It's like I realized 2009 I had to get out of the recruitment business that was working for the last 13 years because it just no longer served me. And, it was at the height of the recession. It's like, it's not the best time to go self-employed as a single parent at the height of the recession. But then you get to something like COVID, you've already got those tools and that resilience in place because what's the worst that can happen? Everything's working out wonderfully. Yeah. Look at what you can do instead of. Well, if that's not working, well, it means I've got to go down a different trajectory. I can't say that word. It's a bit like num. I can't say that. But you've really sort of moved things around, and you're really excited about what you do, aren't you? Which is
so
great.
I've got a
which
call.
Is passionate.
It's interesting. Straight after, I'm on three podcasts today, two networks, two coaching sessions, and straight after this, you're getting out recruitment. But I've got a big contract happening with a recruitment agency providing mindset coaching with young elites. If you've got a business and you've got 20-year-olds, they're brilliant, they're really intelligent, they're really motivated. What are they doing out of work? What are they learning about life? What are they doing with the relationships? What are they doing with the relationships in work? What are they doing with destructive behaviours that are happening all around it? Because you only see that little bit of time and you expect them to do a lot. So I've worked with a few of them already, and just a lot of that is motivation and drive. But I've never been as excited in my life. I like making someone aware that if they want, they can do anything they want. And they don't have to put up with second best, because they're end of the day, we're the ones who decide where we're going. And the only thing that is like a limiter on it is ourselves. We limit ourselves. And you think, when I, in a coaching session, you are like, you go, all right, what's going on? You'll ask him and they'll say something. And you go, why do you limit yourself? And you go, I don't. So you just said that then. You said you couldn't do it. And I've talked to you for 10 minutes and you seem really intelligent, really motivated. I think that's really easy. And they go, do you? Because they didn't believe in themselves, but I did. And I saw it in them. Next minute, they're doing it, and they're not just doing it well. Because you, like someone else, it's easy to think, wow. Because what happens with me a lot is, I have people telling me they have no belief, and I start thinking, wow, I shouldn't have any, because you're really smart. And if you don't have any belief, then what's in it for me?
But it is. It's interesting, and that's the power of a coach. And a good coach is to reflect back to somebody what they have achieved. Because I think some people are so sort of on this sort of single-minded, they've got to do this, they must do this, they must do that. They don't ever stop back and realise what they have achieved. I mean, I worked with somebody just recently, and it was literally at one of my CV coaching sessions, and I worked with her on extracting a lot of information to do with the job that she'd been in. And it was fascinating because there was so much more to her job than was actually already on a CV. There were so many more elements, human elements and stuff that she'd done as studies, and she'd discounted it because she'd not completed it. But actually, do you know what? Even if you've not completed certain studies, you have gained knowledge, you've gained information that you've got that could be valuable to whatever it might be that you do next. And actually, if it's not then on your CV, it's not getting out there and you're not getting it back. So it's important to have all of this on there, because it's how it's worded. It's just lovely. It's working with and extracting that information, reflecting it back to people, then feeling really good about themselves and realizing, actually, hey, yeah, I've done all of it. I've already, good Lord, I've done all of that. And it's, yeah, it's quite, yeah, it's fascinating. But well, people don't stop, and people don't always, or people aren't always around people that will support them in that way.
Well, imagine this. You thought about, what am I going to say to these kids? The first thing I'm going to say is, the problem what you've lot got is, all you are learning to pass this exam. How about you start actually thinking you're taking knowledge in for the rest of your life? Forget the exam, because the exam's like something that's happening, but your knowledge is going on forever, and I promise you that knowledge is valuable, but you don't see it as that way yet. You think it's a waste of time. You think, I'm sick of school, I'm sick of this. But what about knowledge when you meet someone else and they have knowledge? Knowledge is power, because some people who don't have it, it gives you that extra boost in life, that knowledge. You can get somewhere and you've got something to put you, show yourself for. There's always a way, you've just got to find it.
Yeah, do you know what? That's really interesting. You've hit on that subject, because that's the one thing I've really value. You know, I've spent thousands on my own personal development and my own personal development journey and things I've done and where I've gone and who I've worked with. Da, 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 da. But it's the one thing I know that nobody can ever take away from me. It's what's in here. I've empowered and enriched my brain with, you know, all the stuff that I've done, the conversations that I've had, the books that I've read. And like you've just said, that is the power of studying, you know. But I'm passionate. This is something else I'm really passionate about, because with my book, I'm in the process of amalgamating a couple of the chapters and creating another book to be guided towards parents, carers and educators of children, to encourage their curiosity. Because I think if we can encourage them at an early age to be interested in what careers are out there that are related to their talents, their passions, their interests, you know, and getting them to get some work experience or find out what their parents do, their parents' friends do, or, you know, what their older brother does, older sister does, or whatever, you know, to explore that, to be curious, to try. That will then in turn motivate them to do the subjects. But I would love to see in schools subjects taught in a completely different way.
Yeah.
So
they
can have these modules that they, okay, you've got to do history. If you're interested in football, you're interested in fashion, well, you can go in and pick up those modules that are related to that. So that therefore their learning is naturally generated, because, I mean, I witnessed my son. He wasn't interested in school. He had to do languages. He dropped out of the languages. And he was interested in other stuff. He's interested in fashion, sneakers, trainers, and, you know, and skateboarding and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he learned a lot because he was online doing lots of stuff in alignment with that. He enjoyed product design. He enjoyed philosophy and ethics or something like that, because he'd got an interest in that area. But he was a nightmare. I would have not wanted to go through lockdown with him, but I just didn't even bother trying to push him into his studies, because you'd only tell me what I wanted to hear But ultimately, I said to him, well, look, Fred, you know what? You're going to have to get these GCSEs to get yourself out of school, otherwise you'll be stopping on. And funnily enough, he managed to pull out 5 out of the bag, and then he including maths and English. Hello. Because he's bright. But do you know what? If he was doing the subjects that he was really interested in, he would have applied himself so much more. But, you know, he's doing great because he's doing all the stuff that he's really interested in. And I've, as a mum and a coach, I've always supported him as that.
But I'll hit this on you, like, and we're the same. Like, my oldest son, he was, in a sense, he was my failure, because I was learning to be a parent when I had him. And I remember back, it was only 8 years, he's 22. When he was 14, him and I stood up against each other, man to man, being all manly. I'll do that. What is that? I'm embarrassed saying it, because I don't do that when my other son's even bigger. I don't do it with him. But I know my other son is, like, you could say he's useless. He's 15. He doesn't know what he's doing. I know he's going to be an absolute performer, because I'm going to make him one. I'm going to coach him. I'm going to push him. I'm going to give him the belief. I'm going to get him in the right direction. We all have that job, but some people aren't lucky enough to have it. So every so often, I get to give it to people I know don't have it. It's not work. It's not paid. It's a freebie. I do it all the time. I do it in a shop. I sit with people. I talk to them. I stand to people in queues. I try and motivate them. In 5 minutes...
We're so alike, Christian.
In 5 minutes, you can change someone's life by just showing some belief. They're reading a book. What's that book? They tell it and they go, wow, you're really good at articulating words. You should do something with that. They walk off and they're going, I never knew I was good with that, because no one's ever told them. I told them. Next minute, they start thinking, I am quite good with that. Off they go. And it might be something different, you know, like your son was into things. It doesn't matter what we're into. End of the day, employment, when it comes, is there's so many things you didn't do at school. Do you know what I mean? So it is going to come.
Yeah, you're one of life's messengers, though, Christian. And I think, you know, I'm a bit like that as well. You know, some people pass into your life for a moment and it is just to pass on that message. Yeah. And that is that, and it's whether that person, that's coming back to synchronicity as well, and it's whether that person picks up on that and how they respond. Because actually, absolutely, you know, and I've had opportunities when I've been talking to candidates in my recruitment business, you know, and I spot things on the CV and I'll say to them, look, if you just tweak this, tweak that, do this, do that. Some it just like you think, oh, do you know what? Why I bothered? But I feel compelled. And there is that element, of course, of, you know, there is that unwanted advice as well. You have to be, there is a level to how much you sort of go in and say to people. But you know what, if something feels that you've got to say something to someone and it's not going to be offensive in any way, if it's a positive, supportive, sort of encouraging message that you're there to pass on, it's like, go for it, do it, pass it on. Because do you know what, somebody listening is so powerful. And if you're reflecting that back to them, people feel heard. And that, again, is the power of coaching, because people feel that they have been heard. And there's nothing more powerful than having your story heard. And that's, and you can reflect that back so easily by just mirroring the language that they use. And you go back to talking to your son. I mean, I was single mum at the time with my son, and he, you know, at times, and he was 5 years, 6 foot, what have you. But some of the times I used the coaching on him, I just used and mirrored his language and his body language, and it just made him laugh. And it's just like...
This is what I think. This is what, here we go. I'm chucking it out there right now. So I believe I'm a universal connector. And what I mean by that is, because I'm not someone, I like talk to, every day I speak to someone I don't know and I connect with them. And if I see someone looking sad, happy, whatever it is, I will connect with them. I often believe when I meet someone, I get talking to them and I think, you're not meant for me, but I met someone 3 weeks ago. I was meant to connect you two together. I didn't even know them. I don't know them. And I go, this is mad, but I've got this guy and I think I should connect you with him. I've only ever met him once, but I think he's right for you. I connect these two people together. Off I go. And they might have that synergy comes together and they do what they need to do. But it's like, if people weren't looking out there saying, you know what I mean? Like, I want everyone to do really well. I want the person in the queue at the food place that I like to go to, who looks a little bit, they look a bit tense. I say, what's going down today? And they go, oh, bloody late for everything. And I understand it. And then they go, and I go, I do it all the time, but you just got to get, and he's like, you have, they're calmed. I was only talking to them for 5 minutes. Their day got better of 5 minutes. So if every one of us does that, the world's a bloody beautiful place. It is a beautiful place as it is, but even more beautiful.
No, absolutely. And it's just that positive vibe and positive energy. And I'm exactly the same as you, and I always have been. I just want everybody to sort of feel better. And that's what I love about the podcast, because I know there's so much positive, well-meant generosity of energy and spirit and wisdom and what, you know, and just, and it's going out globally. And I love that, you know, and it's touching people, and those people that it's touching are then touching other people, and we're spreading it. It is that sort of, yeah, globally networking it, and it's just, yeah, it's magical. It's magical. So how do people get in touch with you? I mean, it's just, I mean, we could carry on talking for another 40 minutes, and I know you've got meetings and things like that to go to, but how do people get in touch with you?
My name's Christian Hoyle. I'm on all the socials. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a YouTube channel that I'm doing. It's an extra thing that I'm growing at the minute. You catch me on all my socials, because I do a range of things to promote you to feel better about yourself, to push you. I've never mentioned it once, but I'm pushing walking. Walking for the soul, for the mind, as an exercise, as an easy motivator, a motivator for life. A big push on that. It's on all my socials, and every day I make a little video that's about get yourself outside, get yourself enjoying it, enjoy life, be something, and just say, you know what, I'm not taking no's anymore. I'm getting on with it. I'm becoming motivated. I'm giving myself drive. And that's what I want. So get me on my socials. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please do rate, review, follow, spread the word, spread happiness. Do your bit, as Christian's just been demonstrating. He does his bit all the time. So please do. So this has been me, Sarah J. Naylor. Thank you again. This has been Harnessing Happiness. And my guest has been Christian Hoyle. Do get in touch with him. Follow him on socials. And thank you. And until next time, goodbye. And let's spread happiness. Happiness everywhere.
Thanks for listening to the Harnessing Happiness podcast with Sarah J. Naylor. If you took value from the content, please follow the show on your podcast app. And to find out more about Sarah's ape mindset, visit sarahjnaylor.com. That's sarahjnaylor.com.